Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Hello, listeners. I have a very special guest today. But before we dive into that, I want to get us into sacred space. So take a deep breath and connect to yourself in the present. And we call upon the Great Spirit. We call upon the two who move as one through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future. Creator, sustainer, and destroyer, weaver of the web. We call to the God, Lord of light and Lord of darkness, God of the green and the gold, God of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever, so mote it be. All right. I am here with Stevie Grant, the Dean of the Mystery School. Say hello, Stevie.
Hello, everybody.
All right. So, Stevie, how do you spiritually identify?
That's easy. As a witch. I am a witch.
That's awesome.
I think that it kind of evolved because I was, of course, trained in the temple, but before that I was a high priestess in a different tradition, and we were Wiccan. But somehow it just evolved and it didn't bother me. You know, it just seemed like, oh. But actually, it's interesting because legally, you know, if I have to fill out forms like for the government, I don't say I'm a witch, I say I'm a Wiccan because that's what they recognize. But in my heart and to all of you, I'm a witch.
Yeah, no, the government has specific words that it only, replies to. Like, you know, the temple is called a nonprofit church.
Right.
But we're a temple. We're, you know, like, anyway. So they only recognize certain words. So that's the way it is. So what is your witchcraft origin story, Stevie?
Oh, wow. How far back do you want me to go? Yeah, I think I had, I recall, I've been married twice. I'm married to my husband now, and then I had a former husband. And anyway, he had a colleague come over for dinner with his wife, and we were entertaining them. And the wife looks at we're asking the wife what she did, and she said, "I'm a witch." She did not describe what this meant to her, but she looked at me quite seriously and said, "And you're a witch too." And for some reason that stuck in my head, because I had a feeling I knew what that meant, but I could not put it into words at the time. And looking back, I'm wondering, did she know? Did she know? Or was this some other kind of thing? And that was many, many years ago, probably in the 1960s. So that's a long time ago. Let's see. I am a retired psychologist, and in my psychology work, I did a lot of past life therapy. Kind of fell into that as I was helping people, and they, you know, find the origins of their symptoms, and they went into past lives. And at the time, you know, everybody poo-pooed this, and we said, but it's effective, it works. So whether it's true or not, or a made-up story, it doesn't really matter, except the more that I did it, I could see when things were actually memories as opposed to things that people made up. So things like that began to get me hooked. Also, when I was doing therapy with clients, I started seeing their auras, which is very helpful in working with them, and things of that sort. So, let's see. Somewhere in the late 80s or 90s, my son was in college and told me that he had become the president of the Club for Wiccans or Wiccan Club. I don't know what exactly the name of it was. And I said, "What's that?" So he started to describe it and said, "Mom, you're a Wiccan too." I said, "I am." And he started telling me all these things that I had done and so on, or had said I believed, and I began, so anyway, I started reading on recommendations and got into Starhawk and Scott Cunningham and books that were available at that time. And at that time, we moved, oh, yeah, my current husband and I moved here to the Pacific Northwest. And for me, it was just, this is where he grew up. But for me, it was a very strange place and I didn't know anybody. So my son was visiting and took out a big map and we looked at, he knew how to do computer things and looked up, where there were Wiccans, that they could find. So I wrote to them. This was before the days of lots of emails and things, and didn't have a reply from anybody because in those days people had covens and the covens were kind of secret. And who was I just coming out of the blue that nobody had ever heard of? I was not referred to them word of mouth or anything like that. but just meeting people around here, I found a group that had a coven, and I think it was an herb store. We went to the herb store and we discovered this. And it was several years before I got up the courage to say, "Hey, I want to join," mainly because I wasn't sure that I liked the people themselves, but it was the only thing going. So I joined and became initiated and so on, so on, so on. And so shortly then they disbanded and the herb store disappeared and any metaphysical stores disappeared. And now find myself in a real, in a fairly isolated community, even though I'm in a city. And so, I tried to teach classes. I found a small church, a New Age church, that a lot that the pastor allowed me to rent the space to give Sabbath rituals and would take just a proportion of whatever I earned rather than a fixed fee, which was kind of funny because if I had two or three people, that was not a very large amount that, but she was perfectly fine with it. And I kept telling her, it's, she said, "It will grow." Well, it did for almost a year. We went through six Sabbaths. The sixth one was Samhain, and a very unfortunate thing happened. The lights that were on at night, that the night lights that just are in a public building, had somehow been turned off. And I called her and could not get in touch with her, and didn't know where the switches were. Or anything. So the place was pitch dark, and anybody who might have been coming didn't. We had zero attendees. And being Samhain, I had brought not just the usual things for the Sabbath, but extra stuff for, with pumpkins and So, yeah. So that was the last one I gave. It just, I realized that the call for this was not here. And I think what happens is, because I had met a few people and they said, oh, yeah, we're interested. We'd like to come sometime. But they belong to their own little groups, and their own little groups were hidden, hidden secret. And either they conflicted or they didn't need it, and they weren't really that curious. They were just being nice to me when they talked, and so on. So that's kind of where I am. So sometime within a few years of this, I was in the bookstore, and the what's the book on protection that Christopher wrote?
Oh, the Witch's Shield.
The Witch's Shield just about fell off the shelf into my hand, literally. So I'm looking at it, it looked interesting, so I took it home, and I was so impressed with what he had written. There was not much on protection, in from a witchcraft perspective at that time, and also, I was impressed with the way he wrote. It felt like he was talking to you, and talking to you as a real person, not some high and mighty being who was pronouncing things, but just, and it was so it was very approachable. So I went back to the bookstore, which I frequented a lot anyway, and I saw the Inner Temple of Witchcraft, and then the Outer Temple, and they were just being published at that time, and I couldn't, so I read those. I was so impressed because I was a high priestess already, and I had some background to evaluate this stuff, so I kept reading and reading. I couldn't wait till they came out, and just about when I had just bought the last book, and I was still working on level four, I went through the whole thing myself. I saw online, it began to, this is when things first started. And so I saw an announcement that that Christopher was giving classes. And so I started with the classes and graduated Witchcraft 5 in 2010. And here I am. It was a few years before I became dean. I did a few other things. I was, as you know, Adam, created and led the Healing Case Study Group for early on, and then for a number of years. I kept trying to get rid of that as when I became dean, and for one reason or another, I had to keep coming back to help out. So it's finally evolved into the way it is now, and some other people are running it successfully online, totally online, by a video. So I've been dean since 2013, summer of 2013.
Wow. So, as dean of the Mystery School for Sagittarius Ministry, can you tell us a little bit about that role and what your duties are in the Mystery School?
Christopher says I run the online classes, and I suppose in a sense I do, because I've taken over more and more things from him. We have a structure in which we have the students, and each student has a mentor, and it's not a mentor in the traditional sense of mentor, but someone who reads the homework first and comments on that, so it gives feedback to the students. And then we have TAs who have a group of the students, and so they then read the homework, and they do some administrative stuff. So and then there's me. And I have an assistant now, Karen Ainsworth. But I didn't for many years. I've just had it for the past couple of years. And what happened, so I kind of supervise everybody, you know, the TAs and the mentors and the students, and I read all the homework. And from the get-go, I read all the homework. At one time, Christopher said, well, maybe the TAs could do that. And I said, no, I think we're still small enough that I need to know everybody. When I make administrative decisions to advise students, you know, I want to know who they are and what they're doing. So I was reviewing the homework after. Ideally, you know, it should be a piece of cake by the time I get to review it. But sometimes I'm still training the mentors and I'm still training the TAs about how to review the homework. So there's a lot of that. And I take care of all sorts of issues with students, like you know, if they're in trouble, I answer questions, and sometimes they need some you know, mini counseling,
Or encouragement, or
yeah, that kind of thing, and sometimes I have to be mean and say, well, you're not doing the work, you know, and try to help them to catch up. And sometimes they don't. And then I have to go through a procedure of putting them on academic suspension, at which point Christopher's called in just so he is there. And sometimes they're withdrawn for that. Oh, and also sometimes people can't get their homework in on time. So I'm giving extensions, and there's a lot of things that I do. I'm probably just covering the surface with all that. Over time, I think I got to do more and more on my own because I learned how to do this, and Christopher gained some faith in me that I could do it, and so I was relying on him less and less, which is how he got to say I was really running things. But it did free him up to do a whole bunch of other things. And I don't think at the where he's at right now, he could ever get back to doing. Originally, he used to grade all the homework before there was ever a dean. I don't think he would ever get back to any of that.
It's a lot of work to do some teaching in the temple. From my own experience,
Yeah,
it's and I
right.
have a very small pool, and you have
Right.
a very big one.
Right. Yeah, and I'm covering all five levels, one through five, which is interesting, and of course it keeps up the interest too. So after a while it got really, really tough, and Christopher and I talked for several years about getting an assistant, or even someone who might replace me. You know, we were at that time, everybody was making up their manuals, you know, dean manual, which I created. Oh boy, that was tough trying to figure out what did I do. And that's changed a lot since then. So finally, we got Karen on board as an assistant dean. And so we divide up the homework. And each month, she grades half of, not grades, reviews. We don't grade, it's on a pass-fail basis. She reviews half of it, and I review the other half, and then we switch and we alternate throughout the year. So we both each get to know all the students, and we can discuss issues that come up. So that's a huge help. And she says to me, I don't know how you did this on your own. And at this point, I don't know how I did either, but I did. But that's freed me up to do other things. And it's like I'm going through what Christopher went through. I'm filling up the supposedly extra time that I had. For example, this year, I did what I've like wanted to do for a while and took quite a bit of effort to evaluate, give feedback to the teaching assistants. And to help steer them a little better in doing their jobs. So I had to examine very closely and get examples of, well, you could be doing a little more of this, and here's an example, and here's an example, and so on and so on. And I think this was very helpful. In fact, Christopher would like it to be done every year. So whatever time I had freed up is now taken up with
A new project.
a new project that which will become an important part of the thing. So it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. And I love meeting the students and seeing them grow. And I think that's the important thing is being able to do that.
So, what do you think are good qualities in a student of the mystery school, or the, sort of mindsets that they need to get through?
Witchcraft is a very experiential kind of endeavor. And I think people need to come here. Some of them know this already because they have some prior experience, and some of them have no prior experience just from stuff they've read. But they need to come with an open mind and an open heart and kind of a beginner's mind, so that even though they've had a past experience, they're willing to do the work that the way it's given, the way Christopher has designed it, and not to say, well, I've done this before, here's what I did before, because that's not what the class is about. It's about learning the techniques that Christopher is teaching. And I emphasize Christopher is teaching because some of the students get a little mixed up because, they're taken care of by the mentors and the TAs and care. But it's really Christopher's course. And if we have problems, I am not averse to contacting Christopher and saying, here's the student's homework. We're stumped. Where can we go from here? But at least he doesn't have to go through all of them. Just to keep it like that. And also, we have a forum in Google Classroom, so students can talk to each other there, and they can also ask questions, so that Christopher can come in and answer, or they can email him directly. So they. He's there as the teacher, but he's not, visibly there.
I know for myself, I've found that the students who go through the lessons and actually do the exercises somewhat in order, I feel like there's a magical process. It's almost like baking cookies of like you put the flour in first, experience the flour, and then you put in the sugar and you put in the, like that sort of thing. And you actually get cookies at the end, instead of, something else.
Absolutely. You have to go through these steps. You can't just read about it and have cookies appear. That's not going to happen. You have to go through the experience. You have to, that's what the work is, the doing the experience thing.
So, what other practices have you studied that inform and enrich your witchcraft?
Oh, wow. Well, probably my background in psychology, I'm sure, has informed a whole bunch of things. Psychology, in terms of I've taught psychology at university, and I've also done a lot of clinical work, so healing work. So that's informed it, and I think I mentioned that before, getting into past life therapy as well as part of that. Reiki. I'm a Reiki master, and although we don't teach that. Although Christopher has ideas that maybe at some point he
Oh,
might be.
yes, he does have ideas. And it
Yeah.
is cooking in the background. He's supposed to work with it with me, which is probably what knocked him, for a loop, because I was like, meh, I don't like that part. I don't. Oh,
Yeah.
well. And he went on to different projects. So
Yeah.
hopefully we'll cycle back around and get a temple Reiki at some point.
Yeah. But I think working with Reiki as well as the kinds of things that I did in psychology have helped inform part of what I've brought to my witchcraft practice. I still do Reiki, of course. And I don't know what else. Just practice, my personal practice, day to day,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of personal practice, what is helping you right now? What are you using? Get you through.
Whatever is called for. I guess every morning I do my what kids learn in Witchcraft One, altar devotionals, and I, thank the gods for whatever I thank them for, a bunch of things, life. And so on. And a lot of things that I've learned, I do my Merkaba activation, which is kind of an advanced thing from the Society of the Temple classes. And I, as needed, or periodically, I do a lot of exercises. Actually, from Witchcraft 1 through 5, and it's really good. I it's good to review some of the basics, and I recommend that to lots of people. Sometimes specific things that they seem to need.
Sometimes if I'm doing my altar devotion, I ask, my guides and my in my mind, what is needed right now? Like, what do I need to do right now? And sometimes they come through with an answer, and sometimes it's like, what do you think is going to work?
I get a lot of carry on.
Carry on. So we come to our last question. What is the best advice that either you've been given or has come to you that you think might be helpful to the community?
Practice. Yeah, just keep up your practice, get experience, and I think part of it is, we connect with a lot of internal beings, beings in other realms, and they're internal be in the way that we, in the
Experience
physical
them.
world, describe things, and they're as important to connect with as the people in the external world. So as you practice, you keep up that connection. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thanks for all of our listeners listening to us yammer on. So I think we'll bring our session to a close with a little prayer. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
So we thank the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the goddess and the god who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again.
Turn me in.
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.